الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله اللهم رب الدهر تامر آتي محمد وسيلة الفضيلة رسول الله اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, this month of Muharram has ushered in a new Hijriyah. Muharram, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself mentions when talking about the months of the year in the Islamic calendar, Allah says, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ. There are 4 months in the 12-month cycle of the Islamic lunar calendar which are sacred, the Ashur Hurum. And Muharram is one of them. So the other is Rajab, and then you've got the three that are consecutive, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. In short, a sacred month, it has its rules, it has its restrictions, but any good deed you do in a sacred month, the reward is multiplied by Allah. But any wrong that you do in a sacred month, the sin is also multiplied. Like when you go to Makkah and Medina, any good you do, the reward is multiplied because of the sanctity of the place. But any wrong you do, the sin is also multiplied. Hence, after doing that which is compulsory, our first priority, generally in life, but more specifically when we are in a sacred period, or when we are in a sacred place, is to abstain from sin. It's like you're on the AC, but you leave the windows open. You mitigate the benefit of the AC. So you do good deeds, but if you're simultaneously sinning, then you mitigate the impact and the benefit of those good deeds. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma was once asked that if there are two people, the one is kathirul amal, kathirul dhunub. He does a lot of nafil actions, but he also sins a lot. And the other is qalilul amal, qalilul dhunub. He does very few optional actions, but he sins less. Who's better? He said, the one who sins less. The one who sins less. I often say that as we get closer to Qiyamah, Allah drops the benchmark in terms of what is required for you to become a wali and a saint. We are in an era, or we're fast approaching an era. If you do that which is compulsory upon you and you abstain from that which is haram, then you are the saint of this day and age. You are the saint of this day and age. You don't have to do as much in terms of optional devotions as those who did in previous years. Because of the level of immorality, promiscuity, and temptation that is so widespread that it reaches each one of us right into our palms. That said, the point I want to get to is, why does the calendar start with the Hijrah? There's a famous story. Various opinions were given to Umar radiallahu an when they realized there was a need for an Islamic calendar. And he chose the Hijrah above other opinions. And he said something that annually, I want the calendar, as 1 year lapses and a new year commences, to remind Muslims that the struggle between haqq and batil is an eternal one. The Hijrah was a turning point in the struggle between haqq and batil in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened before Hijrah was persecution, subjugation, marginalization. What happened after Hijrah was the establishment of an Islamic state in 10 years. And prosperity in terms of the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. In this month of Muharram, we have Ashura, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun. And that again is a reminder that the struggle between haqq and batil is an eternal one. And no matter how much it may look and seem that batil is dominating, is prevailing, is so established that nothing can bring it to its end, like it was perceived for a prolonged period of time when Pharaoh was at his height and at his might, and no one could touch him, no one could stop him, no one could convince him. But there's a reason in English that they say, every Pharaoh meets his Moses. Every Pharaoh meets his Moses. His decline started even before Musa alayhi salam was born. When the thought was planted in his mind that a boy from the Banu Israel will bring your kingdom to its knees. And that's when he went ballistic. That's when he became paranoid, as intelligent as he was. You saw an escalation in his violence, his aggression, his oppression. But that escalation was an indication that the decline had started. He was panicking. A lot had to happen. Musa alayhi salam had to be born and put into the Nile and grow up in the palace of Fir'aun. And even after Musa alayhi salam made dua that, oh Allah, destroy him. And Allah said, Ujibat da'watukuma. Oh Musa and Harun, I've accepted your dua. It was still another 40 years before Allah drowned him. But when did he drown? At the time when the Banu Israel thought, we are now defeated. And at the time when he thought, I am now victorious. Inna lamudrakun. At that time, when he thought he finally was going to prevail over the Banu Israel, and they finally thought that they were caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. That is when Allah showed him his destruction. Now, when we talk about the struggle between haqq and batil, then we always think about the external enemy. So we perceive ourselves to be on haqq, and indeed we are because of Iman and Islam. And we perceive others to be on batil because they are not upon the correct aqidah, the correct way. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. Allah is very categoric about that. But there are different layers of struggle between haqq and batil. And the one struggle between haqq and batil is within our own chest, within our own souls, within our own bosoms. So yes, indeed, if you look globally what's happening, there's a struggle between haqq and batil. And often we speak about that. But today I wanted to just touch on a different element. What about the struggle between haqq and batil within us? Within us. And what lesson do we draw from the story of Musa and Fir'aun and from the story of the Hijri calendar that Umar radiallahu anhu said? I want you to remind yourself annually that there's an ongoing struggle between haqq and batil. But it takes different shapes and different forms, and it plays out in different battlefields. And the one battlefield is within us. Now, the scholars have explained something. They say, if you look at all of these personalities in history, whether mentioned in the Quran or part of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that are condemned, they have one quality that each one of them had. It is one quality that's common between all of them. Whether it's Namrud in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, or whether it's Fir'aun and Qarun in the time of Haman, Musa alayhi salam, or whether it was Abu Jahl in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one quality that they all had, which didn't start with them, it actually originated in Iblis, is the quality of pride. The quality of pride. And that talks to the eternal battle between haqq and batil, between the noble qualities and the condemned qualities that plays out in our own nafs and in our own souls and in our own bosoms. See, shaitan, no one could worship the way he worshipped. They say there isn't the equivalent of a handspan in the heavens except that he made sajda there. But because of his pride, when Allah didn't give him the position of Khalifatullah fil ard and gave it to Adam alayhi salam, his pride resulted in anger. Anger resulted in jealousy. Jealousy resulted in disobedience of Allah. For a prolonged period of time, he's worshipping Allah in a way that even the angels who are created exclusively for the worship of Allah are envious. They look and they say, wow. They requested Allah to take him from the earth and onto the heavens because he was from the jinn. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ عَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. But because of his pride, he rejects the command of Allah. Then when Allah tells him, why don't you listen to what I say, O Iblis? He said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. Allah, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. Whereas the scholars have said, fire is not better than soil, even though he thought it was. For many reasons. Primarily because soil is used for constructive purposes and fire is used for destructive purposes. Then, so he disobeys Allah, he justifies his disobedience, then he blames Allah. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Allah, you led me astray. And he dedicates the rest of his existence. Actually, he makes dua to Allah to prolong his life up till the day of Qiyamah, so that he can lead the children of Adam alayhi salam astray because of his animosity towards Adam alayhi salam, which is rooted in his pride. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. When Abdullah bin Masud was about to take the life of Abu Jahl, Abu Jahl told him, cut my neck closer to the chest, so when all the heads are lying, my head must stand tall. They must say, that is Abu Jahl, the leader of the Quraysh. That's what pride does to you. When Fir'aun was drowning, he said, Amantu billadhi amanat bihi Banu Israel. He said, I bring Iman in that being in whom the Banu Israel believe. His pride did not allow him to take the name of Allah. His pride did not allow him to take the name of Allah. So all of these personalities who fall on the side of batil, which we are reminded of because of the turning of the Hijri calendar, because of the story of Musa alayhi salam, we need to be careful that we're not aping their character and we're not following their footsteps by carrying that quality of pride. Because it's so destructive. The hadith tells us if you have an iota of pride, it could become a preventative from your direct entry into Jannah. You'd have to be cleansed. You'd have to be cleansed by the fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us and protect us. The opposite of pride is tawadu. And the thing about tawadu is, Allah says, مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. The more you adopt genuine humility for the sake of Allah, the more Allah will elevate you. So history is replete with examples of those who had wealth, who had knowledge, who had position, who had political power. Their arrogance was their downfall. Eventually they had to fall. And then history is replete with examples of those people. Society gave them no regard. They didn't have the wealth, they didn't have the power, they didn't have the prominence, but their humility elevated them. If you look at the Mi'raj, which was the apex of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's existence, where Allah took him to the Sudratul Muntaha and beyond, how does Allah describe him? Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Allah doesn't say bi nabiyihi or bi Muhammadin. Why abd? Because that was the title that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred for himself, that I am a mere servant of Allah. And the more he humbled himself for the pleasure of Allah, the more Allah elevated him. The more Allah elevated him, that the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on the kalima. Whenever the adhan is taking place, and every second in the world, somewhere or the other, the adhan is being sounded out. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Statistics tell us the most given name in the world today is the name Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Now, what is tawadu' in a genuine sense, and what is tawadu' in a fake sense? So we can all fake tawadu', you know? You lower your voice. When you greet someone, you're half in ruku. You walk like Junaid Baghdadi. You talk like Abdul Qadir Jilani. And you say, no, I got tawadu'. Tawadu' is a state of heart that manifests itself in your words and in your actions. It's not just the pretentious manifestation in word and action. So sometimes we get confused. And those who are experts, just by listening to us, by watching us, like, you know, you go to a doctor, sometimes you don't have to tell him anything. He just looks at your eyes and he says you've got an infection. Because he's an expert. So those who are an expert, sometimes they just watch how you speak, how you slip things in, the words you use, your body language, the subtleties, and they are able to say that there's pride lurking here. There's pride lurking here. You may not realize it, others may not realize it. So I give you an example. Normally, in our discourse, if someone comes and praises you, you tend to downplay it. So if someone introduces me and says, this brother, Marana, mashallah, he contributed to the building of the masjid. So what's the normal reaction? No, that's nothing, man, just something small. Allah accept. So there was one scholar, whenever someone would praise him in his presence, he'd keep quiet. So one day his students asked, they said, Hazrat, you know, by you keeping quiet, it gives people the impression that you're enjoying it and that you want people to praise you. So he explained and he said, you know why I keep quiet? Because if I am going to try and downplay it, that person is going to re-emphasize what he said and elaborate on it. So if they say, you know, this is this Hazrat, he did this and that, I say, no, I'm just a simple servant. Then the person, no, you are special. So he says, by my speaking and attempting to get him to downplay it, in reality, my nafs is actually asking him to say it again and to say it louder. That's why I prefer to keep quiet. Someone praises me, I just prefer to keep quiet. Hakim al-Umar rahmatullahi alayhi explained something. Most of us find ourselves in this conundrum. That, yeah, okay, you know what, but that man's not performing salah, I'm performing salah. That man is committing a sin, and I'm not committing that sin. So shaitan plays with that. That, no, but I must be better because I'm performing salah, he's not. You know, he's involved in interest, he's involved in zina, I'm not. So he explains a beautiful point that there's a difference between akmal and afdal. You can be more qualified than the next person. If someone is a hafid and the next man is not, you're more qualified. If someone is performing salah and the next man is not, you're more pious. But it doesn't mean you are better. Why? Because you have no guarantee that any of your ibadat is accepted. If none of your ibadat is accepted, even though you're doing more, he's doing less, but if one of his ibadat actions are accepted, he's better than you. You may be sinning less, but maybe Allah doesn't forgive one sin of yours, which is your destruction. He may be sinning more. Maybe Allah forgives all of his sins, which is a means of his salvation. That's why Akimul Umar rahmatullahi says, you can consider yourself more qualified, more pious, more abstentious, but not better. Because you don't have any guarantee that what of your good is accepted and what of your wrong will not be forgiven. And he says, even in terms of a non-Muslim, of course, I have iman, he doesn't have iman, so I'm more qualified. I don't know, prior to my death, perhaps Allah will deprive me of iman because of my sins. And because of his one good deed, Allah will bless him with iman. So in terms of the end result, he could turn out to be better than me and I could turn out to be worse than him. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Pride is not something that you do a once-off wazifa or you go for once-off, you know, treatment and it's dealt with. It's a lifelong struggle between haqq and batil. An internal struggle between haqq and batil. You need to constantly check. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us a dua. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayunin nasi kabira. Oh Allah, make me small in my own estimation, but let people have a good opinion of me. Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. That people think good of me, O Allah. And look at how Allah had manifested that dua, that in every salah, كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So my message as I conclude is this, that the struggle between haqq and batil relates to the outside forces of batil against the forces of haqq which is us and them, as we normally would understand it. But at the same time, we must not forget that haqq and batil is also internal. We also have our own struggle, and many times we can find ourselves on the side of batil. And if you look at all of these individuals who are on the side of batil, they had one quality amongst them, and that was the quality of pride. And that is what we need to eradicate. So many times, you know, we just like to speak about ourselves. Somebody is speaking, we want to bring in our own experience. We want to bring in our own perspective because we suffer from what they call ananiyat, me, me, me. One scholar so beautifully says, when you're boiling rice, when the water is still boiling, it means the rice is not done. When the water goes quiet, it means the rice is now ripe for consumption. When a person is always talking about himself, it means spiritually he's not yet done. So spiritually he's still unripe, he's still immature. I'll leave you with this. You must not downplay your good actions. You must not suffer from an inferiority complex. An inferiority complex means you feel Allah hasn't given you something that you are entitled to. So there is a difference between humility and an inferiority complex. Humility doesn't mean you don't try your best, you don't have confidence, you don't have aspiration, you don't have ambition. No, it means you try your best, you have confidence, you have aspiration, you have lofty goals, you have big intentions. But whatever success you enjoy, you attribute it to Allah. Whatever failures, you attribute it to yourself. That keeps you humble. And I leave you with this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us the prophetic remedy that whenever something good comes your way, you're a hafid, you're a hafid. Don't downplay it. You're an alim, you're an alim. You gave charity, don't play it. You went for umrah, you went for hajj, don't downplay it. But say, I only went because Allah made it possible for me. I only did it because Allah guided me. So I thank Allah for it. But I also ask Allah for forgiveness, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest human after the Anbiya, performing Salah, the greatest act of Ibadah, behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest of Imams, he says, Ya Rasulullah, what must I read at the end of my Salah? Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. That, oh Allah, I have not fulfilled your haqq, I have not fulfilled your right. Forgive the deficiency in my good actions. Ibrahim Alaihi Wasallam built the Kaaba, wa tub alayna. Oh Allah, forgive the deficiency in this great action. So attribute the good that Allah has given you to Allah, and seek the forgiveness of Allah for your deficiency therein. That will help to keep you humble. But you need to constantly check your heart and get the experts to help you to check your heart. That pride must not be lurking, because pride can set us on such a path of destruction that Allah forbid we end up just like the Abu Jahls, Fir'auns, Qarun, Haruns and Namruds. But if we have the humility, then the promise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there. Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. The more you humble yourself genuinely from your heart before Allah, the more Allah will elevate you. May Allah make us from amongst those who have tawadu, and may Allah protect us from kibar and pride in all of its forms. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأوثق العرى كلمة التقوى وخير الملل ملة إبراهيم عليه السلام وخير السنن سنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشرف الحديث ذكر الله وأحسن القصص القرآن وخير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وأحسن الهدي هدي الأنبياء وأشرف القتل قتل الشهداء وأعمى العمى الضلالة بعد الهدى واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وشر المعذرة حين يحضر الموت وشر الندامة يوم القيامة أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونشكره جل وعلا ألا صلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأفضل البشرية وأزكى الإنسانية الهادي البشير السراج المنير الصادق الوعد الأمين محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم الله في قوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين خاصة في غزة خاصة في غزة اللهم أعجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز يا متين اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم حرر الأقصى اللهم حرر الأقصى من أيدي الظالمين الغاصبين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقم الصلاة.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وصدوا الخلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده اللهم ربنا لك الحمد الكثير الطيب المبارك السلام عليكم الله أكبر الله أكبر اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وعافني واهدني وارزقني واجعلني الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين
الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر اللهم صل السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله
Thank you.